Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of The Wrap-Up, a production of The Balance. Join Tom and $2 Bill Josh as they wrap up the last 24 hours of sports for you. Right now, here's Tom and $2 Bill Josh.
All right, Josh, my name, we'll do it right. This is Tom. This is The Wrap-Up, a production of The Balance. $2 Bill Josh right alongside me. Josh, how are you doing today, my brother?
I'm well. How are you, Tom?
I am fantastic. A lot to get wrapped up. One of the breaking news I want to let you know, as our listeners, and Josh, you may not even know this yet, Brett Favre's sister Brandy has been arrested in a meth raid, could face up to 30 years in prison. So we'll keep you posted here on The Balance and let you know how all that pans out. Again, Brett Favre's sister, Brandy Favre, has been arrested for methamphetamine in a raid and could get up to 30 years in jail. All right, Josh, NBA. Sorry, guys, we don't have the Daily Zap today. We weren't able to get it uploaded from our friends over at NBA.com and NBA TV. If we can get it going here soon, we'll get it going. But, Josh, let us know what's going on.
Do you want to do NBA or NFL first?
Let's go ahead and go with the NBA.
Okay. Last night, the Pacers got their second straight victory, 102-8 over the Dallas Mavericks. Rookie Paul George had a career-high 16 points. Brandon Rush had 20 points. Jim O'Brien continues to play the young guys. Collison, Rush, Granger, Hansborough, George, and lead the veterans on the bench. It appears to be working as Pacers, like I said, a 1-2 straight. For Dallas, Tyson Chandler had 18 points, 9 rebounds, 3 blocks. That was the Pacers' first back-to-back win since November 28th and November 30th. Pacers improved to 16-20, 26-11. Tomorrow night, the Pacers take on the Bulls at 7 p.m., but more importantly than the win last night, there appears to be hope back on the Pacers' sideline. The Bulls, 91, Bobcats, 96. Carlos Boozer had 23 points and 14 rebounds for the Bulls in the losing effort. DJ Augustine had 22 points, 12 assists, and 4 key threes down the stretch. Charlotte is 6-2 under interim coach Paul Silas. The Bulls fall to 25-13. Charlotte improves to 15-21. Hornets 92, Magic 89 in overtime. Dwight Howard had 29 points and 20 boards. For the Magic, Marcus Thornton had 22 points, 9 rebounds. For the Hornets, Emeka Okafor had 18 points and 14 boards for the Hornets. Orlando's 9-game winning streak ended last night. Orlando falls to 25-13. New Orleans improves to 23-16. Jazz 131, Knicks 25. Former Pacer Sean Williams had a career high with 25 points. Good to see him getting it turned around in New York. It's a shame he never realized his potential with the Indiana Pacers. For the Jazz, Darren Williams and Paul Millsap had 24 points each. The Knicks went 2-2 on their 4-game road trip. They fall to 22-16. The Jazz improved to 26-13. The Clippers won 11. The Heat 105. Wade had 31. James had 27. The bigger story out of this game for the Heat, LeBron James sprained his ankle, may not play today. This is coming from the guy who left a nasty email on Twitter about the karma coming back to bite the Cavaliers on Tuesday, and he gets hurt on Wednesday. So maybe he's right. Maybe karma does bite back. Chris Bosh had 26 points and 13 boards.
Sorry about that, Josh. Couldn't resist. Karma and LeBron James. All I can say is, LeBron James, this is for you. All right, Josh, I couldn't resist. Go right ahead.
It's all right. Chris Bosh had 26 points and 13 boards for the Heat. Blake Griffin had 24 points and 14 rebounds, his 30th double-double of his rookie season. He missed all of last season. The Clippers had 44 points in the first quarter. The Heat fall to 30-10. The Clippers moved to 13-24. Tonight at 8, it's Wizards. T-Wolves, John Wall versus Kevin Love. At 8 p.m. on TNT, Dwight Howard and the new-look Orlando Magic take on Kevin Durant and the Oklahoma City Thunder. And at 10:30, Miami Heat, either with or without LeBron, will take on Carmelo Anthony, unless he's benched because he's about to be traded, and the Denver Nuggets at 10:30 on TNT. And that's your NBA wrap-up for today.
To say that you behave childishly is an insult to children everywhere.
Well, that's right. Sometimes you got to be childish right here on the wrap-up. My name's Tom. Right alongside me is $2 Bill Josh. We do this wrap-up thing every single day, and we wrap you up with what's been going on in the last 24 hours of sports. And one of the things why we're still talking a little bit about NBA very, very quickly, we didn't really touch too much of it. We did kind of mention it here on the balance. Remember the Ohio, Josh, remember the guy from Ohio, the homeless man whose silky voice made him a web phenomenon and a job with the Cavaliers. Well, it appears before he hits the Cavaliers, he's going to be going to rehab. He had an appointment with Dr. Phil on an appearance on the Dr. Phil show. He said that he agreed to enter a private facility after a lengthy one-on-one interview with Dr. Phil McGraw. A quick draw, McGraw was on it again. And so turns out that he is going to be going to rehab. And I guess that's in the shadow of some events that happened over the weekend where he ended up at the Los Angeles Police Department where alcohol and domestic violence was involved. So I don't know. Maybe the guy in the sign wasn't really the guy in the sign. But that's just one of those things. All right, Josh, NFL. What's going on in the NFL? Obviously, we've got the Ravens, the Steelers, the Jets and the Patriots, the Packers and the Falcons, and the Seahawks and the Bears. It's divisional playoff weekend. I know Broncos is getting ready to make a coaching change. What do we know there, Josh?
The Broncos have hired former Carolina Panthers head coach John Fox. It is an absolute perfect fit for the Denver Broncos, as their defense was horrendous. He's a defensive-minded coach. He has a running quarterback, which fits his system perfectly because he'd rather run the ball 90 times a game and only throw it if he absolutely has to. Tim Tebow's an excellent running quarterback. I think he, in the next 2 or 3 years, will be one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL at throwing the football as well. But he couldn't ask for a better-fitting head coach, and the Broncos couldn't ask for a better fit on the defensive side of the ball. I don't know what your thoughts on the matter are, Tom.
Well, I think it's a good fit. I think he did a good job when he was at Carolina. I think that it is a good fit for him. I know that the terms of his contract have not quite been revealed yet, but I'm sure that he's getting paid. And I guess he beat out Houston Texans offensive coordinator Rick Dennison and Jacksonville Jaguars offensive coordinator Dirk Cotter. Who were in the final three. Fox interviewed with the Broncos and John Elway on Wednesday after his flight out of North Carolina was delayed 3 times this week by this awful winter weather that all of us are having, including right here at the Balance Studios in Indianapolis, Indiana. It's across the nation. 49 of the 50 states actually have snow somewhere in the state. That's pretty remarkable. But the Broncos are coming off a franchise worst 4-12 season. So Fox has got to turn things around. Like I said, I'm not really sure what his contract was. I do know that obviously his contract wasn't renewed by the Panthers. who also had a very bad season. And, I think it's a good fit for the Broncos. I mean, Fox's, like I just said, contract wasn't renewed by the Panthers following an NFL worst 2-14 season. He was the fifth candidate for the Broncos have interviewed to replace Josh McDaniels, who was fired December 6th amid the team's worst slide in four decades and the embarrassing Spygate 2 videotaping scandal. So he's 55 years old, spent the last nine seasons as Carolina's coach going 73-71 and winning five of eight games and three trips to the playoffs. The Panthers are coming off a 1-15 season when he took over in 2002 and led them to a 7-9 mark in his first year before guiding them to the Super Bowl in his second season. So maybe history will repeat itself. Maybe he can do the same thing for the Broncos out there in Denver. I think that it's a good fit. I think that it certainly is somebody that is a good fit. Speaking of good fits, what do you think about the Browns? They turned around and hired Shurmur as their new head coach. Had you heard that, Josh? And give us some information on that.
Yes, but before I move into that, I just want to remind our listeners that I did call Josh McDaniels getting fired, and I did call John Fox to replace him in Denver.
That's right. Here at the Balance and on the Wrap-Up, Josh and I keep track of our attaboys. That's absolutely right. That a way to go, Josh. You did call that as usual. You do get the coaching changes correct. So the Browns hire Pat Shurmur as the coach. Pat Shurmur quickly turned rookie quarterback Sam Bradford into a rising NFL star. What can he do there in Cleveland? I don't think that that's an easy fix for Cleveland. He was obviously the offensive coordinator for St. Louis for the past 2 years. And Thursday hired by the Browns, ending the search for their fifth coach since 1999. And so, Josh, what are your thoughts about Pat Shurmur and being out there in the dog pound?
He comes from the Mike Holmgren coaching tree, which is a great fit because Mike Holmgren's the new president and general manager. Well, I guess he's going to go into his second year. As president and general manager of the Cleveland Browns, so I'm sure one of the main reasons he got the job was he did develop Sam Bradford, although Sam Bradford was pretty well developed coming out of college. And he comes from the Mike Holmgren coaching tree. I'm kind of shocked that Holmgren didn't come out of the boot or out of the office, the suite, the sideline, wherever it is he watches the Browns lose every Sunday. And yes, I know that's a jab at Cleveland to take this job.
Well, apparently to Holmgren, the 45-year-old's last name means success. So Shurmur's last Uncle Fritz was Holmgren's defensive coordinator in Green Bay when the Packers won the Super Bowl in 1996. And in a hiring candidate with no head coach experience, Holmgren is following the same path he took in getting to the top of his profession. So we'll see, brother. We'll see what goes on. If Pat Shurmur can turn the Browns into a consistent winners, he'll be the first coach to do so. And Cleveland has reached the playoffs just one time since returning to the NFL in 1999. And we'll see what all can be done out there in the dog pound. One thing is for sure, they haven't made it to the divisional playoffs this weekend, and this weekend we've got the Ravens and the Steelers. What a defensive matchup that's going to be. Myself, I honestly think that the Ravens have a good shot of beating them, but I'm still going to stick by my pick. The Steelers are going to win by a field goal. My prediction on that is somewhere around the 21-17 mark as the Steelers continue to move forward in that game. And like I said, it's going to be a defensive showdown. It's going to be a low-scoring game, and we'll see what happened. I mean, obviously, Big Ben is out there, and Big Ben can make some big plays. Ray Lewis and the rest of the defensive end there in the Baltimore will have his number. So, Josh, what are your thoughts, Ravens, Steelers? what is going to go on there Saturday afternoon, 4:30, when they take the field there at Heinz Field.
Well, these teams split their regular season meetings. They went 1-1. Both games were decided by a field goal. They're in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh has Ben Roethlisberger. No matter how many NFL fans don't want to give him his props, he's one of the top 15 quarterbacks of all time. And he's on his way to go win his third Super Bowl ring in 7 years.
Okay, well, we'll see. Go ahead, Josh.
Try picking the Steelers to win 2017.
2017. So you think it's going to be a low-scoring game as well. All right, we move on over across the board there to the Jets and the Patriots. Obviously, weather's going to be an issue there. Of course, the Jets are no stranger to playing in the snow. And the Jets are doing plenty of trash talking leading up to Sunday's divisional playoff game. And when these AFC clubs meet on Sunday, it's going to be personal on both sides. And I expect that this to be a showdown. And we're going to see some refs breaking up some fights. There's going to be some this is going to be a showdown, and it's a 51-year-old rivalry between these two original AFL franchises that couldn't be any closer to each other. But, again, in this particular situation, I think that the Patriots will come triumphant. I think they're too strong. They're too deep. I think that Brady has a very good handle over that offense. I think that the Jets could beat New England, but they're going to have to come in there with a perfect game, and they certainly can't beat New England in the same fashion that they beat the Colts on Saturday. Josh, what are your thoughts? The Jets, the Patriots, Sunday afternoon.
I think the Jets are going to expose the Patriots for the frauds they really are, and they're going to do it by playing the Patriots exactly how they played the Colts, to the T, and I think they're going to expose the New England Patriots in Foxborough on national television. Jets 18, Patriots 14.
Okay, well, I tell you what, I'm going to disagree with you on that. I do think it's going to be a close game, but I don't think they're going to be able to beat New England in exactly the same way that they beat Indianapolis. I think that if nothing else, New England is watching the tapes with Indianapolis. And the one thing about Bill Belichick, he's always got something up his sleeve, and he does know how to do some game planning, and he does know how to get some plays called, and he knows how to get some plays calls that'll work. And Tom Brady knows how to make those plays. So, and they're deep and tight in the defense. It's just really hard for me to believe that the Jets are going to come out with a win on that. But I call it a little bit of vengeful thinking on my own, hoping that the Jets do get embarrassed and do get beat and that they do get to go home. But at the same time, talking real football, I think that they most definitely can't beat the Patriots on Saturday. But I will take your score, and we'll go with that. All right, the Seattle Seahawks, the Chicago Bears, our Cinderella team being the Seattle Seahawks. I'd like to stay with them. I think this is just going to be too tough of a team there in Soldier Field. I think, man, if they were anywhere else, I'd say, yes, there's an opportunity. But they're playing in Chicago in weather. They're having to fly across the nation. I think that midnight rings and Cinderella is going to have to go home before they turn into a big pumpkin on on Sunday afternoon. I know Seattle wants to keep a hold of Matt Hasselbeck. We'll see how that plays, but I think that his days at Seattle are numbered, but he will get there and get in there and play. I think the only thing that's going to keep them is to win the championship, and to go a trip to the Super Bowl might keep Matt Hasselbeck around. But I can tell you one thing, the Seattle Seahawks aren't listening to any of their critics, that's for sure. And they're entering the playoff with the worst regular season record of any qualifier in the NFL history. And their victory over Super Bowl champs Saints just isn't enough yet. I think that the Chicago Bears will upset them. I think that they will come in and make it happen. And, you know, if they can beat Chicago, obviously I think at that point they will shed the underdog label. And maybe that'll happen once again on Sunday and win its first road to a playoff game in more than 27 years as it faced Chicago in the NFC divisional playoffs. Josh, Seattle, Chicago, Sunday afternoon, 1 o'clock. What are your thoughts?
I'm picking the Seahawks, and I'm going to give you four numbers why. And then I'm going to tell you what the four numbers mean. 5-19, 1-0, and 0. Jay Cutler has 0 playoff games, 0 wins. Quarterbacks making their debut in the playoffs in the last 12 years are 5-19. The 1-0 stands for Seattle's already been to Chicago and won in Chicago this year. Add those four numbers together, and the Seahawks are moving on to the NFC Championship game.
All right, and it appears that we agree to disagree again. I think it's going to be a fantastic story. I think that if they do make it to the championship game, I think they'll shed a lot of people up. They've got to prove one more thing to me. They've got to prove to me that they can beat the Bears on Sunday. I don't know if they have enough guns to make that happen in Chicago. And like I said, I think that if it was anybody else, anywhere else, but if you want to root for the underdog, which I like rooting for the underdog, and like we've talked about right here on The Balance many times, you know, don't discount the guy that's playing for nothing, and that's certainly where Seattle is. So I'm not discounting them. I'm not saying that they're going to blow that they can't beat Chicago and that it's going to be a blowout. But I just think that, you know, Cutler and Forte and Knox, they all are really big guns for Chicago Bears. And Chicago wants a repeat to the Super Bowl, and they've been playing a very good season. I just don't think they're going to be shut out by a team like Seattle on Sunday afternoon. Moving on over to good games. My marquee game of the day, Green Bay, Atlanta. And wow, what a game that's going to be. It's going to be a great offensive game. Michael Turner, Aaron Rodgers, it's going to be a good game. Obviously, Michael Turner for Atlanta and Aaron Rodgers for Green Bay. Falcons, Roddy White. I mean, it's going to be a good game. Matt Ryan, Aaron Rodgers doing battle together. Aaron Rodgers is still following in Brett Favre's footsteps, want to prove that he can win the big game, want to prove that he can take the cheesehead to a different level. And they did a good job and had a very good start last week. And so, but this week, I just think, again, Atlanta too much for them to bite off. And I just think that Atlanta moves forward. And I'm going to have a pick there of 32-28. Atlanta beating Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers, you had a great season. We'll see you next year. Josh, what are your thoughts?
I guess we're going to agree to disagree again. I think the Packers are going to go in Atlanta and win big.
Okay. And why do you think that?
Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback left in the NFC. The Green Bay Packers have a great defense. Nobody talks about their defense enough. They went into Philadelphia. They knocked out the Eagles with Michael Vick. I don't believe in Matt Ryan. I mean, I know he's 20-2 at home, but he hasn't played this Green Bay Packers team at home in the playoffs. I'm going to have to agree with my friends at Sports Illustrated and say the Packers are bound for the Super Bowl, where they will ultimately lose, but they're bound together nonetheless.
Okay, well, we'll see how that pans out. And we certainly want to hear your thoughts. Give us an email. Shoot us an email at tbalance@ymail.com. You can also stay up to date on all the playoff action, divisional playoff action, on our website, www.thebalanceonline.com. And you can follow us on Twitter, on T-Balance, or on Facebook. Certainly make sure that you post your comments and so forth. Just search The Balance. My name's Tom. Right alongside me is $2 Bill Josh. We do this every day. And make sure right after the show you log on to iTunes, pull the show off, and you got it right there. And also, you can listen to all the archive shows on the website, www.thebalanceonline.com. This is the wrap-up. We're having a great time. We do this every year. Man, oh, man, oh, man. It's been one of those days, Josh. Every day we do this, and we wrap you up on the sports in the last 24 hours. Well, What's going on over there in the NHL, Josh? Tonight we've got Philadelphia and Boston. Josh, do you have any thoughts on the NHL and what's been going on there in the last 24 hours?
The Penguins continue to struggle without Sidney Crosby, but I would like to take this moment to move back out of the NHL for just a minute. MLB Hall of Famer Frank Robinson was taken to the hospital after experiencing what doctors think might either be a heart attack or a stroke, and no word on his condition is available at this particular point in time.
Okay, and thanks for that update there, Josh. One thing that you know here at The Balance, we will keep you updated on all sports, and that's why we're called The Balance. We give you a full balance of all sports, from NFL to NHL. Now, we're back on the topic of NHL, so go right ahead there, Josh, real quickly.
Detroit looks to be the class of the Western Conference. Pittsburgh, Washington, Philadelphia, Tampa Bay, those four teams are going to fight it out, with one of those four teams eventually going to the Stanley Cup. I have a feeling it'll be the Penguins if they can get Sidney Crosby back and they can help the – with enough time left to secure home ice. If they have to go into Tampa Bay, Philly, or Washington in the Eastern Conference Finals, I don't think they're going to be able to pull it off. It'll be
right.
A fantastic second half of the season, though.
Right, I totally agree. And speaking of those Flyers, the Red Hot Bruins welcome the Flyers into town. This is the third of four meetings this season with the teams splitting the first two. On December 1st, Tim Thomas stomped all 41 shots. He faced a 3-1 Bruins win in Philadelphia on December 11th. Mike Richards scored with 3 seconds left in overtime to give the Flyers a 2-1 win in Boston. The big story here is the Flyers remain undefeated in 2011 and are on top of that Eastern Conference that we just spoke about, while the Bruins are just looking for their third straight victory and a chance to pad the Northeast Division lead there in the NHL. And so also real quickly here, we got Carolina and Buffalo tonight. We've got Carolina, Buffalo, Ottawa, and New York. Today we had Vancouver and the New York Rangers, and we had so. Are you there, Josh?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sounds like I lost you there. I lost my notes there with the NHL. It's just been one of those days. Let me tell you what. But that's okay. You can keep up to date on everything right there on our website, www.thebalanceonline.com. Josh, take us into the two-minute warning. What's going on?
Number 8, Purdue plays number 25, Minnesota tonight. Purdue is looking to improve to 16-1, 5-0 in the Big Ten, as they look to host Ohio State in a couple weeks for first place in the conference and maybe a top 3 ranking in the country.
All right, Josh, thanks for that. And also, just keep in mind that you can keep up to date on everything on the website, www.thebalanceonline.com. The divisional playoffs are coming. They start here in exactly one day. So we'll see what happens. The countdown to the Super Bowl is on, and we'll have a very extended Super Bowl coverage show right here on The Balance. Make sure that you join us Saturday morning. We will have an adjustment on the time. We should have that for you tomorrow on the different times that The Balance will air on Saturday. And don't forget, right after this show is over, jump on iTunes and download the show for your archives. My name's Tom. Been right alongside me is $2 Bill Josh. You have been wrapped up.
Well, when I say when you gotta go, you gotta go.
You have made me very angry. Very angry indeed.
Oh, son of a gun. You thought I was going to say son of a, didn't you?
That's all, folks.